All right, welcome to another episode of the Beyond the Boundary IPL podcast. We are, I would say, 48 hours away from knowing exactly who's going to be in the playoffs. The final two of the 2021 part two of IPL. So I think we've decided to kind of go with a different kind of format this time around. We are not going to delve into every team specifically. So that means we're not going to talk about Punjab and Sunrisers as much. Even Rajasthan, actually, thanks to their loss to Mumbai.
But we're going to kind of favor yesterday.
Yeah, they're kind of going to, you know, talk. We're going to talk about the people who are in the tournament. Let's just go from there. So Thomas, out of the five probable teams, not five probable teams exactly. It's just they're deciding the top two right now in terms of RCB, CSK and DC. And then you have KKR and Mumbai, right? In contention for the final fourth spot. I do want to interject though that Punjab have a chance if KKR lose by a really, really big margin and we win by a really big margin. But I'm not going to count that too much. Let's just see how things go. But yeah, with Mumbai winning with that large margin as well doesn't really help. So which side of this interesting kind of where we're poised do you want to kind of get into first?
I think let's get into the top two first. I mean, that's okay. The easier conversation I would say, you know, mm-hmm. to have. Because at the moment, you would say the top two that is currently at present, what is it? Delhi and Chennai, they are favorites. But yes. I wouldn't put it, I mean, it's certainly not out of the realm that RCB could break that top two. And that, mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, that's because they have two games in hand compared to everyone else, right? So there is that issue. I don't know, like, I'm kind of confident. I don't know, like, really depends on tomorrow's results as well. Today also we have to beat Sunrisers. You know, it's normally, even though Sunrisers are in the position that they are in, mm-hmm. who knows, like, maybe for the pride's sake, they get one over us. Nice.
So, yeah, but actually, if you look at today's game specifically, right? Both teams have nothing to lose because if RCB lose this, they're qualified anyway, right? So they're going to look at it as a, you know, we if we lose this game, nothing happens. We're still going to be in third place, right? But you want to push because you can get to 20 points. I think that is like an added leverage for them. I like you said, Sunrisers, we're not going to get into them too much because, I mean, they're at 4 points with two games left for them. So they can get to a maximum of 8. So they've kind of confirmed their fate as, you know, 8th place teams. And I guess they from all the teams right now, they'd probably be the ones who'd be waiting for the mega auction the most because they just want to get rid of whatever's happening, which is a shame. But yeah, we're not going to get into that too much. What about DC and CSK? Because I think the DC-CSK game that happened kind of established DC as a favorite now to finish. Or have they controlled it or not as one in two?
So DC, they're more or less through, I would say, as top two. Because one thing is because they're already on 20.
Yep.
And one more thing you have to consider is their run rate is positive and it's a very good positive run rate. It's not mm-hmm. just about zero run rate. So that is one thing of considering. So I would say they have, unless they like cock it up severely against RCB, I don't see them dropping out of the top two.
Yeah.
The major swing factor is Chennai, CSK and RCB I've seen. So that would determine, you know, what like how it goes. So, I mean, for RCB, in any case, they have two games in hand. So, yeah, today they're going to play the first one, the Sunrisers one. And based on that, I think that could put, you know, CSK under pressure based on whatever result is there to be, you know, to perform. I don't want to count my chickens yet. Like, I want to see how we go today. But if we do well today, I kind of have a feeling we could finish in the top two, you know, like, I don't know, it's just like,
yeah, it's feeling you have. It's touch and go. I mean, but let me like give you another kind of little factoid, at least from what my memory serves me, Punjab have played Chennai twice before this on the last day of the season. And both times we were kind of in contention to qualify, this time not so much, but we lost both games pretty badly, from what I remember. Last season was the one where Deepak Hooda kind of had the little spurt towards the end, but the rest of the batting failed, and this year it's the same kind of story. So I won't really put it past Chennai to really beat us pretty badly, and then because they have the you guys need to make up what plus 0.8 on net run rate. Let's see how that goes.
Yeah, so with all this conversation will be relevant if we lose to Sunrisers, by the way, today. Like, we have to keep that in mind. But like, I mean, it's nice to have the feeling that we are in contention for the top two. So even if we finish on like 18, like we are, and whatever, and we are tied with CSK, it's still a pretty good season. You won 9 games. Yeah. Like, you drop down to third, but based on the strength of the other teams and that thing, you could say that we are a little more settled compared to whoever finishes fourth in that sense. One thing I would caveat it. So like this, like last year we were on that huge losing streak, right? Like towards the end of the regular season. I mean the normal like we lost like 4 in a row last season.
I think it was 3. It was actually around the same situation where you had 2 left in the normal round robin phase, and then you lost the eliminator as well, if I'm not wrong.
I think we lost 4 in a row if you remember correctly, we were in that stage where we were slightly reliant on other results.
I remember.
Yeah, there was that little bit of this thing there. So I think it is 4 in a row. We lost to Sunrisers. We lost to Sunrisers twice in that round. BC once and Mumbai.
So that's the thing. I would like to kind of focus more on DC and CSK because I don't want the listeners to listen to the whole thing from the POV of RCB, right? that's what it's been like over the last 2-3 minutes. But yeah, I think that saying that, I think for DC, like we already mentioned, they're more or less, I think they've sealed the second spot because even if you do the permutation and combination, right, RCB need to have two games with like averaging a plus 0.4 increase in their net run rate and obviously winning both because your net run rate only increases if you win the game. Then they would have to rely on CSK kind of losing. But even if they lose, they still finish second, right? I mean, if CSK win, yeah. It seems like they're more or less sealed it. Like, RCB need to have 2 Gale 175 kind of games to kind of knock them down from second and continue winning their game. So, DC, I feel, is safe. CSK, like you said, kind of in a pressure situation, especially if RCB win today against Sunrisers. Because then they face Punjab, who also have nothing to lose. And like, I would maybe like to come to KL Rahul's press conference, the post-match interview after this, because that was a little scary from a Punjab fan perspective. But he kind of had forgive my French, but I don't give a shit anymore kind of attitude after that game got over. He was, I think now he's just going to go and try to seal the orange cap, make 100 or something against CSK. And then, personal accolade-wise, he's sorted. And then that kind of puts CSK in a spot of bother, especially if Punjab win that game, right? Because then they are dependent on RCB. So, the top of the table is almost
as interesting. This would be second or third orange cap, by the way. Like, sorry to interrupt you. This would be second or third orange cap.
Who's? KL's?
Yeah.
It'll be second.
Oh,
he won last season, the season before. But get this pretty interesting fact. four seasons in a row, he may be has the chance to be the highest Indian run scorer in the IPL. So it's a pretty he has a lot to play for as well.
Exactly.
But that's the thing, right? Because Rituraj Gaikwad and Shikhar Dhawan are in the mix for the orange cap, and they seem to be destined to play at least two games minimum, right? Both of them. So I think they and KL just has a 7-run advantage, but both of them have played one game more than him because he had the appendicitis. So that's why he has an innings lesser. I think that kind of makes the top three really interesting. But now I think I'd like to get into a 4 and 5 with KKR and MI fighting. And MI in typical MI fashion had such a convincing win yesterday and kind of proved to us, or at least to me, when I was saying that I feel RR are still, I'm not sure if I said it on the podcast, but I was like, I think they're a fraud.
You said it on the text to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Even when they beat Chennai, right? I watched the innings and I'm like, you know, this seems like those once in a blue moon kind of innings with all of them clicking together. They don't seem to have that self-belief. And I don't blame them, right? Because the three individuals that carry the team didn't travel to this leg of the IPL. And one of them didn't show up at all, which was Jofra Archer.
Yeah.
Right? So, I don't blame them, because this time around, they had a much more balanced team than they did last year. It's just that the three match winners that they were boasting of and kind of what got Graham Swan involved in the whole Rahul Tivatiya fan craze, right? That whole phase of Rajasthan, those people weren't present. I mean, it's honestly, it's like Mumbai not having Bumrah, Rohit and Hardik. It's literally that. Yeah. If you see the comparison player to player, and Mumbai is a great team, but if you take these three players out, they won't do as well. So that's exactly what happened to Rajasthan, and I don't blame them that they're down there with the worst net run rate in the league right now, which is minus 0.737. So MI did what MI does, had the late resurgence, and now they have their last game, which is against. Actually, who is it against? Is it Rajasthan? No.
Sunrisers.
Sunrise. Oh, wow. That's actually really good for them. It is against
Sunrisers. Yeah, so like, regarding this, you know, I want to clarify something. So, on the last day, that is on Friday, the two games will be played concurrently together. So, Delhi, RCB will be played at the same time as Mumbai, KKR. I mean, Mumbai Sunrisers, sorry. So, the reasoning was that people can't manipulate the results and know the results beforehand and play according to that situation. But I don't know. It seems very far-fetched because in this case, like, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. We really don't know what happened. But tomorrow, KKR will play the Royals at 7:30, right? Yeah. They'll be playing them at 7:30. And Mumbai have exactly a whole day to know what exactly they need to do to. So that entire premise just essentially backfired, I feel.
I got it in the sense that I think when these two games were scheduled, this was the week before, right? That's when it was announced that these two games would happen at the same time. So RCB, DC, Sunrisers, Mumbai, right? So you knew that MI, RCB, DC kind of would be in the mix for qualification, because last week, I don't think any of them had sealed their spots. It was kind of clear that DC and CSK will make it, but the queue wasn't next to their name. So it makes sense to keep two games parallel. I'm a fan of that because both of us are football fans, and you know this about FIFA World Cups, right? They have the last match day, all the games are together so that none of this permutation combination stuff can work out. I do get what you're saying is, that maybe KKR and Rajasthan and SRH MI should have happened at the same time.
Yeah, but one more thing to back my point is that so technically speaking, RCB and Sunrise are playing today, right? Which is Wednesday.
Yeah.
So they would theoretically need at least one rest day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So based on that, yeah, it makes sense from that perspective. But yeah, they could have just pushed it another day or something. You know, I don't know. It's just, it is kind of weird that the purpose was to do it for this, but in the end, it didn't work out. So I think they could have just waited a little bit, I feel. You know, just to see what the situation is. And accordingly, they clearly said that they're having these matches concurrently for this purpose.
Yeah.
So now, when it's not... When
that purpose maybe is in not the being future, pushed, I feel like the last 4 games, which is basically all 8 teams being involved, right, should happen on the same day, but you do... But you kind of reveal those fixtures depending on the situation. So you keep 2 day games simultaneously, which if the 2 games kind of have an impact on each other, and then 2 evening games simultaneously, and then you're basically done on that one day with your final result. Because in the IPL especially, one spot kind of seems to go down to the wire every year. So I feel like it's a good idea. And yeah, because it makes sense, right? Like even from a studio perspective, it kind of adds a little different dimension, kind of like what Gold Rush is for the Premier League.
Yeah.
So it would be fun. Like, you know, you'd be watching a certain game on one channel, and then they'd be like, oh, Harshal Patel takes a hat-trick against Mumbai. That kind of stuff. Pretty interesting thing to do. So yeah, at least the IPL is trying to innovate, because they seem to follow the same thing year in, year out, which isn't the best thing. So yeah, if I was to ask you right now on momentum, KKR or MI, who makes it to the fourth place?
Tough one. It's a real tough one. So both of them are playing like teams who are down and out, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
But one thing is, I think, so both of them are equal on points, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
both are 12.
If I were to go with my gut, I will go with MI. I just have this feeling that it will be them, because we don't know about the status of Dreyras as well as Lockie Ferguson.
Yep.
So there's a higher probability of Rajasthan beating KKR without those two than there is a possibility of Sunrisers beating Mumbai. You know, in the end, we don't know.
Like
Sunrisers, they'll just have their best game of the season and they can just,
true,
you know, play. But of that is much less, I would say.
Yeah, I think fair enough. Even I kind of do agree that Mumbai are specialists on winning it in the end. And it seems like all their players, they've made the right changes, first of all, because I think Jimmy Neesham coming in has really made the balance kind of tick, because I'm not sure if he can deliver a 3-for-12 kind of spell again. But at least it gives you that additional option. Sorry. But do you think they'll drop him after balling 3-for-12? I don't think they do that. Because Ishan Kishan's in form, and you've got him in form as an opener. So, getting Quinton de Kock back in is...
they were playing at Sharjah yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
I think both Kishan and Neesham had too much of an impact for them to be dropped. Like, and it's not like Quinton de Kock is Kyron Pollard. It's not like Quinton de Kock's Kyron Pollard. He's not an undroppable overseas player. And Kishan did well as an opener. Rohit Sharma is not moving from the opening spot. So, I don't see too many changes happening in this team.
I don't know. I just feel that in terms of keeping skills,
you know, it
could come.
Yeah, 100%.
You know, these margins, you know, could come down to that. That's what I'm saying. But yeah, we have to see what they go with.
I mean, yeah, the thing is, Mumbai don't make those kind of changes.
Essentially, Raja, it's very tough. I mean, I think they do. Both foreigner spot very flexible, right? Which they alter the composition that.
Yeah, true, but
spot based on the conditions, right, on display. perspective. Like, I mean, I don't know. I thought of it as, I don't know. It could very well be, you know, Quinton de Kock being dropped. And I think he also, if he's been dropped now, I think he should be worried about getting retained. That's one thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of becoming clear that they'd go with the 3-1 rather than the 2-2. At least if the Times of India report still stands from, I think, what was it, back in September or August when it came out in terms of what the retention policy is. But yeah, Kishan kind of has come back to form in, at the right time. Even from an Indian fan perspective, because I don't really care if he doesn't do well for Mumbai in the closing stages, but if the next game is to be Mumbai's last, I'd sleep better if Ishan Kishan's in form, given that the World Cup's what, a week or two away right now. So yeah, I think even I would back Mumbai to make it, but the thing is, if KKR can just grind out a win,
one more thing in their favor is. Yeah,
can I finish my point?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I just asked
you if I can finish my point. Why are you just interjecting me again and again?
Sorry.
Shut the fuck up. So, yeah. the thing that goes in KKR's favor is because if they can grind out a win somehow, right? We know for a fact they're going to go over the plus 0.294. That puts Mumbai in immense pressure then. Because they not only have to win, but then they have to do something similar to what they did against Rajasthan all those years ago. I like to call that Rahul Dravid cap gate. With Faulkner balling that last over. And then what was his name? Aditya Tare hitting those winning runs. And you know what? Moving by the fourth decimal point. Yeah. Into the playoffs. So yeah, it's not like they haven't done that before, but it's just so much pressure then. So I feel KKR just need to focus. They don't mind winning by one run also, or win the super over, right? Because your net run rate still is superior. And yeah, then MI just in a spot of bother. But yeah, what was your point?
But one thing in Mumbai's favor I was going to say is, like that point which you exactly made, right? They know what, like, based on the result, whatever the result is. It's not as if, like, MI with yesterday's win, they got into the positive run rate, right?
So No, they haven't. Whatever, it's minus like, point, on the margin, 0.048. Minus 0.048.
Okay. Which is, like, it's not negligible, but yeah, I mean, still, I would say it's decent. It's not insurmountable for them to pull off a repeat of. I have to call that game as fishy gate, like because that is a very fishy game for me. So, and they have the hitters to do that, and you never know, you know. And have you seen the in the past 5 days? It's been atrocious. So you don't. I'm not out of the realm of possibility. Just saying.
Yeah, true. It's not out of there, but Thomas, minus 0.048. So if you add KKR's advantage, right? I can do the math right here in front of you, right? So KKR are at plus 0.294. So you go 294. Plus 48, that's 342, right? 342 is a lot. You can't have two games where you get your opponent all out for 91 and then chase it with what, 7-8 overs to spare. I would say it is the opposite of whatever insurmountable is. It's mount surmountable. Maybe next time you'll estimate me rather than under. Sorry, that's an office reference from underestimate to estimate. but yeah, so I think, yeah, for me, KKR win their through. That's how it is for me. But But yeah, like you said, we don't know what the fitness of Lockie Ferguson and Ray Ross is. But if they could have one of them back, then that's like just such a massive boost. But yeah, if you want to look at track record and everything else, then am I take this any day. Yeah. So do you want to talk about the I'm going to talk about the Punjab Kings. Basically, I want to kind of talk about what Rahul said towards the end of the the match that they lost to RCB. I'm just gonna read out exactly what he said. So he kind of they presented the orange cap to him, and then he said, "I wouldn't say I haven't enjoyed wearing it," which is the orange cap, obviously. But I would have been happier if he had qualified. It was a score that was par, maybe 10-15 runs extra. When a guy like Maxwell comes in with that sort of form, it makes it difficult. But with the bat, the last couple of years have been disappointing. If I have to be honest, our batting has let us down. I'll be lying if I say it doesn't play on my mind that I play a role that the team demands. It's not something that I enjoy. When you lead a team, you have to accept the responsibility. In T20, the top two or three do score a bulk of the runs, but You want to have people in the middle order scoring 500 to 600. You won't have people in the middle order scoring 500 to 600 runs. But we have missed someone in the middle who scores those 30-40 quick runs. Shahrukh and some of the Indian young guys have been doing well. And then he kind of ended it by saying, which is a good thing for the future. But that's it, right? So he just spoke about Shahrukh Khan. So the only thing that I liked about this is that he said Shahrukh's doing well, which is a good sign for the future. And so that means he wants to stay. But I feel like this, I'm actually kind of shocked how a lot of RCB fans haven't picked this up yet, right? Because they've been losing it over the last 3-4 games since Virat Kohli announced that he's not going to be captain anymore for RCB from next season onwards. And everyone's just been saying that, you know, they want KL Rahul to come back to Bangalore. And no one's picked this up. Am I the only one who watched that interview? Maybe because it was a double-headed day and the kind of thing kind of switched to the live feed of the next game, which I don't remember what it was. But yeah, whatever. What's your take on that, though?
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know why RCB fans have not picked it up. I don't want to speak for the whole fan base here. But yeah, I kind my antenna tingled a little bit.
Yeah.
My spidey senses were tingling at that point. Mm-hmm. But what you said before, right? Like the probability, because there are two new franchises if we were to be released, for example, hypothetically speaking,
yeah.
There's a higher probability of going to a new franchise because there's a higher possibility that they get to take like one or two players before the auction. So mm-hmm. if he's a release, I think he should be the top name.
Yeah.
So there's one more thing which could decide that. This entire thing, I feel. So, mm-hmm. right now, the next T20 captain for India has not exactly been decided, right?
No, it hasn't.
They've not said that. Yeah, it's not exactly been given to Rohit. Like,
but Kohli did say it in his statement that he spoke to Shastri and Rohit before coming to this decision. So that was kind of like an implication. At least. Beyond this T20 World Cup, it's Rohit. We're not sure who it is for the next T20 World Cup or whatever, which is next year. So
I think he's going to wait and watch. So if Rohit is made the captain, he gets to be the vice captain, right? So
yep.
There will be that even though being the vice captain is just a very ceremonial thing back then, there is the possibility that he could be a captain, like the vice president. Like you're only one bullet away from being the president.
And he was the vice captain, if you remember, through the whole white ball series in Australia. So he's done this role before.
Yeah, so I think he's waiting and watching to know that, you know, like, and my, there was an interesting thing, me and my dad were talking, so my dad, he's not, like, I mean, he follows IPL, but I wouldn't say he's that super into cricket more than anything else, but he just gave like this very throwaway, I wouldn't say throwaway comment, but what he said made a lot of sense. So he said that, you know, if, I mean, after the T20 World Cup, the captaincy should directly go to KL Rahul instead of going to Rohit Sharma. So his reasoning was age, which is a major factor, because we don't know how long Rohit Sharma will stay in the game. And there's also one more thing, like, as you go older, you're more susceptible to injuries and whatnot. So that was his reasoning behind it. And I was like, you know, that's very interesting, you know, like, if you think of it, if you're looking to, you know, give the captaincy. So we're under the assumption that Rohit Sharma will be the captain. We don't know whether it'll be for the next T20 World Cup, but in the short aftermath after this current T20 World Cup, he's going to be the captain. So is there a right way of going about it? Why not just give it to KL now that he gets, you know, the experience and he gets to build his team, you know? A lot of this is you're building your own team, right? You have guys who you trust. You're able to bring them into the squad and whatnot. So
and hopefully when he builds it for India, he has a middle order. So that will be interesting.
Yeah. He'll definitely have a better middle order than what he has at present. That's one thing I'll guarantee. Yeah, so I was just thinking, this is a very random thing. Even though the possibility of that happening is very less, why don't they go with this approach, you know, CCCF?
Yeah.
Instead of going for a more safety first approach of going with Rohit.
Yeah, point taken, actually. Because Rohit Sharma is 5 years older than KL Rahul. That's a lot of time.
Exactly.
Right? And he's 34. And for those of you who watched the Dinesh Karthik interview with Rohit Sharma when he was in England, Rohit Sharma did say that he prioritizes test cricket over anything. So I'm not really sure if he'd want to play so much T20 cricket and then, you know, take the additional responsibility of being captain, because you're already doing it for a couple months with Mumbai. And at least from what we discussed about Mumbai last season, right, their process starts a lot before the IPL. So Rohit's kind of in that leadership role and being talking to people for probably 4 to 5 months of the year. And then you do it for India. And then you kind of have to, you know, make sure you maintain your test career, which you have just reignited in the last couple of years. So, yeah, I think I do agree. And I think the reason also is that I think Ruturaj Gaikwad and Devdutt Padikkal, one of them need to kind of be fast-tracked into the India team as soon as possible. Because, see, the thing is, sure, if you're opening with KL Rahul right now, maybe get one of them in. And on present form, it's probably Ruturaj, but it could be either one of them, right? And and what that'll help doing is that it gives you your team for the next 5 years. And what? KL will be 34 when the next five-year cycle happens. And Ruturaj Gaikwad will probably be 26, 27. And same with Devdutt Padikkal. So yeah, you kind of need to build the team for the future, and then you have your Ishan Kishan. And Suryakumar Yadav is 30, but he doesn't have a established red ball career. He just made the squad. So I think he should focus on T20s and ODIs right now. Same with Kishan. And then Kohli, I'm not sure beyond this World Cup. You know, after the World Cup, he may just say he's retiring from international T20 cricket. You never know. Because he out of everyone, would prioritize his test career and the next WTC cycle more than anything else. So I do agree. I do agree that maybe, and you never know, Rohit may take it saying that, you know what, from now till the next T20 World Cup, I'll do this and then I'm done. And then from 2023, you kind of see that, but whatever. I do agree with that point, because we need to kind of have a and I've never been a fan of India's thought process for T20s compared to like the rest of the world. The T20I team, not the IPL per se, because the IPL has really been a feeder system for the international team in the last few years. But I've not really liked how we play T20s in the past, right? Like, because now in recent times, you know, with Kishan and Sky kind of coming into the team, it gives us more authority. But I would like to have players like Venky Iyer in the future. Maybe even give, like, if someone like a Shivam Dubey comes up in the future, you give them a chance. Someone like the guy from Sunrisers, Umar Malik, right?
Umran Malik. Yeah.
Umran Malik. Give him a shot as well. We don't have anyone who bowls 150 consistently. So, you know, I would like some innovation. We have had that with Varun Chakravarti. So maybe getting a younger captain kind of changes that, and we could see start of something new. But yeah, I think that's about it in terms of what I wanted to cover. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, in addition to that, like I kind of digress from the point of KL, whether he would stay and all. So my point was, if we were to hypothetically get the India captaincy, he could take a position similar to Kohli, like how Kohli took 17 crores, right? In this case, I think he will be justified in taking 17 crores because there's no one else in that team. I mean, no offense, but there's really no one else who is, you know, whatever. So I won't begrudge him taking, you know, that extra 2 crores or whatever. I mean, it's not the right thing. But in this case, it's not as if he's going to lose anyone world beating. That's what I would say.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I'll tell you what, honestly, I feel like even though it's not official yet, there will be a RTM. I'm pretty certain there'd be a couple RTMs at least. Like, if from what you remember the last time, right? If you were to retain two or more players, you get only one RTM. But if you retain one or you retain zero, you get two RTM cards. So I have a feeling that if Punjab just go in and retain KL Rahul and say, you know what, you get the maximum purse. And on top of that, before the auction, you talk to the coaches, you decide who you want, and we build a team exactly the way you want. And you have your RTMs. So in case you want Mayank back, you want Bishnoi back, you want Arshdeep back, you want Shami back, you want any of those. I don't think anyone else is deserved to kind of come back. Maybe Shahrukh, if he has a really good domestic season even after this, or he has a great last game against Chennai. But yeah, you kind of pick out of the five people who are in the mix of getting retained. You pick who you want to RTM, and then the rest of the team's yours. And I'm pretty certain someone like a Krunal Pandya would be in the mix because it doesn't look like he'd be retained there. And the Pandya brothers and KL Rahul are really good friends. So yeah, I feel like then he gets to build the team on his terms because that's not happened in the past with us, right? It's been the management who's kind of taken all the calls, which is not really worth for a team like Punjab. But yeah, I think on the RCB front, like you mentioned, there are too many variables to decide if you end up making it. I think the only way the RCB thing works, okay, let me tell it to you this way. For example, if you get someone like a David Warner, who is in I would say the twilight of his T20 career. So let me just look up his age. Yeah, he's 34 as well. He's Rohit's age, right? So let's say he plays next IPL and then he says, I'm just playing one IPL and I'm done. And you get Warner in as a stand-in captain with Kohli and blah, blah, blah. You whatever, have a half-decent season because Warner's a really good IPL player. And then things with Punjab don't work out with KL Rahul as a captain. And then you do a trade. Yeah, you do a trade and we'd be like, you know what? Give us like Siraj. Not Maxwell, I'm not... Whatever. Yeah, whatever assets you have, kind of like the NBA. And then we... Because then Rahul, I'm pretty sure, being 30 years old at that point and probably being closer to white ball captaincy, would make more sense to come back home rather than stay at a team where it's not working. But if he flourishes and he continues to... You know, the players that he's built, they kind of come together and he makes that Captain Punjab kind of niche for himself, then he gets to stay. But I don't think the mega auction year is the best year to take a gamble on you going back to a certain team. Yeah. In a mini auction, it's a lot more easy. Yeah, like how Maxwell did with RCB, right? Like he literally titillated you guys and said, oh my God, I'd love to play with AB and Kohli. And then later on, we find out that there was already communication. So it was like a proper courtship. And they were like two other people trying to ask him out. That's it. So it was fine. But yeah, anything else that you want to add?
Yeah, just one last factor. One more thing is whether Kumble gets the India coaching gig as well. If I'm not wrong, he did submit the application to the India.
He has.
So you never know. So that also could be a factor. So yeah, there are many myriad of factors. Uh-huh. But if you think of it, I mean, I think KL Rahul, he's in a good position to do what he wants.
Like, yep.
Whatever direction he goes, he's going to win.
That's true. Exactly.
He's going to get a heavy financial windfall either way.
Definitely. Yeah. And well deserved also. I mean, both of us kind of agree that, at least for me, I know that you lean towards that. For me, he is the best Indian batsman in the IPL. At least in the present time. I love Rohit. I love Kohli. 2016 Kohli is the best. It's the GOAT performance of all time. It's the NBA 73-9 equivalent. If you look at consistency wise, I mean, he scored 500 runs consistently over the last 4 years. No one's done that. Yeah. So I mean, Warner's done that, but Warner couldn't do it this year for obvious reasons. He has to play to do that, right? So, I think you made an excellent point with Kumble, though. And I actually want to say this, even though Punjab have had a history of changing their coaches, every coach who's with Punjab gets drafted to their national side. It's not even funny, because we had Tom Moody in 2008, and then I think he went to Sri Lanka or Pakistan, one of them. And then we lost him. We had Darren Lehman, who became the coach of Australia. And then we had Sanjay Banger. Yeah. And then he had to leave because he became a batting coach for India. And then we had our fielding coach was R. Sridhar, because obviously he shared a great camaraderie with Ashwin, still does. So, but then he got drafted. He went full-time to the Indian team. And now the same thing could happen with Anil Kumble again. So we've been unlucky in that way. It's like it's a good stepping stone. It's a spring for coaches' careers, this team. Because they're like, oh, you did decent there in that toxic environment. We need you then. So that's probably how it is. But actually, if Kumble does get the job, what does that mean for Kohli, though? I know that we don't have too much time to wrap this up. I have a predicament in 7 minutes. But the thing is that with Kohli kind of...
I mean, I think both sides are matured since then. That's what I would
say. Hopefully, yeah. And if Kohli kind of gives away the white ball captaincy, right? Then he just needs to deal with Kumble during tests. And I feel like both of them will have... They had a similar outlook in test cricket, at least. Because I still remember that the West Indies series that we won was one of our first... foreign soil victories in Test cricket under Kohli, and after a very long time. I think it was Sri Lanka and West Indies came back to back. I think Test cricket, Kumble and Kohli have a similar aggressive mindset. They're not very, let's try to draw this game. They weren't those kind of captains, at least when I'm talking about Kumble. So yeah, that could be an interesting one, and then we'd be looking for a new coach. Fun times again. We'd be looking for a new coach again. This is great. I'm sorry that and again this podcast becomes a RCB and a Punjab one, but we kind of cannot control it.
That's it. It's our podcast too, so we get to steer it whether we want.
If you want a different one, you get your own podcast. Our podcast is our podcast, none of your podcast.
But it is also yours. We want you to listen.
I mean, honestly, I've reached that point where if you're not listening, it's cool. I'm just doing this because it's therapeutic for myself. And I have, at least for now, I have a job. So it's okay. I'm fine. I'm sorry I'm giving away so much. I hope no one from work listens to this. Let's see with that. All right. I think that's a good, absurd note to wrap on, like most times. So, yeah, thank you for tuning in. The next time we'd be doing this, I think we'd be doing it just before the playoffs. Right? Can we fit one just before the playoffs? I think we can.
I'm not sure, really. Like,
it's on the 13th, Thomas. I think we can do one on the 12th. Yeah?
12th. Oh, it's on the
13th. Huh? 13th is case, the... Oh, no, no, wait. 13th is the game in Sharjah. It's on the 10th. Okay, that kind of makes it difficult. Yeah. But we'll try to get like... okay, tell you what. Let the eliminator happen. And then let qualifier 1 happen. And we do one after that. Because
that's probably the
better solution. Because then we kind of know the three teams that are in the mix. And that's like we can kind of dedicate a full hour to three teams and like get into Delhi and CSK. Because I think... okay, sorry. I know you are an RCB fan, but... Okay, whatever. That's Delhi / CSK / RCB. Happy, Thomas?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't say anything. So, I didn't get why you were being defensive there, but okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just like, it's okay. After this gets over, you'd be like, hey, you know what? We can qualify. And just because you said that, we'll qualify. But yeah, I think on the closing note, what I would like to say is that I am pretty certain that this is my heart, right? I'm pretty certain Rajasthan will belt KKR, all right? They'd lose by like 180 runs and then we'd beat CSK by 200 runs. And then we do a special episode for Punjab making fourth place. Okay? Watch this space. You heard
that
it here first.
Unlikely.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Thomas. We scenario, make 270. Yeah. Okay? We make 270 and then suddenly the pitch will start turning. And for some reason, we'd be playing Adil Rashid as well because why not? That's how we make changes. And then we'd have Adil Rashid, Bishnoi, Brar and Makram taking two wicket hauls. And CSK would be on.
No, don't forget Moises Henriques as well. He'll get
Moises Henriques, yeah. Random wicket here or there. And then, yeah, we'd get CSK all out for 70 and then we'd qualify third because of our net run rate. No, we can't. Sorry. I'm like stretching it. It'll be fourth. But yeah, okay. That's it. I'm going to wrap up there. And thanks for tuning in, guys, if you heard the absurdity towards the end. And yeah, we'll meet you next time when we know the three teams and then we'll kind of make our own predictions. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Bye.